Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Well, we have the return of Rob Schneider, who's always good on this show, and we have the news coming up as well. First, I'll tell you about LifeLock. Fraudsters are sending messages through social media and emails with a Cash App scam. The messages offer free money via app to help during this difficult time. Don't fall for it. It's important to understand how cybercrime and identity theft are affecting our lives. Every day, we put our info out on the internet. And if you're just looking for threats and just checking your credit score, you could miss a lot of these hackers that are trying to steal your identity. LifeLock detects a wide range of identity threats, like your social security number for sale on the dark web. And if something goes wrong, you have access to a dedicated restoration specialist who will be put on your case if you become a victim. But you're not, because you're going to have LifeLock. Right, Dawson?
No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses. LifeLock can see threats you might miss on your own. Join now and save up to 25% off your first year by using promo code Adam. Call 1-800-LifeLock or head to LifeLock.com. Use promo code Adam for 25% off.
The Adam Carolla Show presents Rob Schneider's birthday cocktail party for October 31st. Let's see who made the list. Hey, look, it's filmmaker Peter Jackson. With a name like this, how could she not be famous? Piper Perabo. John Candy is here. All right, stop. It's Vanilla Ice. Oh, fantastic. Someone invited Willow Smith, Mike O'Malley, and songwriter and composer Adam Schlesinger. Have fun, Rob. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Not a bad mix at that Rob's birthday cocktail party. Good to talk to you, Rob Schneider.
Nice. There was that pitcher from Baltimore who was also born the same day as me.
There was a pitcher from Baltimore.
I thought it was O'Malley or some other guy. Yeah, yeah. But anyway, I just like you know, the Orioles.
We'll thoroughly research that and figure it out.
Please do. So it's nice to see you guys. It's been too long, and I'm sorry it took the end of the world for us to finally get back together.
The stand-up special, which is available now as you hear this on Netflix, is Asian Mama Mexican Kids, Rob's new stand-up special. Rob's also going to be in Nashville, Tennessee at Zany's. I was out there. And
Maybe not. Maybe not, Adam.
Maybe not. Yeah, well, that's supposed to be August 20th through the 23rd. But you go to robschneider.com and find out where he is and what's going on. Where are you right now?
I'm a California refugee, currently on the run. Mm-hmm. I'm currently a tax refugee from California. We're out in Arizona. We said, let's come out here until everything calms down. It's hot out here, by the way.
I know. Oh. But, you know, they were talking about having to raise the taxes in California to pay for all this shutdown and everything.
Yeah, but the good news is we haven't worked for months. So, you know, that money we saved up during the... No, but Governor Newsom, just to make it up to us, is making it retroactive to when we were making money in January and February. Thank you, Governor.
Mike August keeps saying this is what's going on. I mean... He wants to raise it to like 16.5% or something.
16.8. Not that I care or that affects me at all.
So what it does is if you're paying, you know, 36% in taxes federally, then you tack on California state taxes and now you're over 50%. You're well over 50% at this point. And I guess my question is who isn't going to move? I can't imagine people not moving. Now, I don't know how... Rob's moving. Yes. I don't know how it works. When do these, and by the way, they're retroactive. Yes, they're going to go back.
It's going to go back to January and February. Why stop there? Go back to like 1978. Just keep going. I mean, it just doesn't matter. They make up the rules as they go. It doesn't matter anymore.
The one thing that I keep obsessing on as I drive up and down the street, I was driving
the one
through,
party
through
system
Glendale.
That's California.
I was picturing everyone. I was past the salon and they were just had all the chairs out on the sidewalk. Everyone just sitting, getting their hair cut out on the sidewalk. And I thought, I've been flying all over the place. I don't understand how you can fly on an airplane and you can't get your hair cut especially when they distance everybody. Like it's well, indoors. The airport's indoors. Yes.
It's a very selective virus. This virus, if you're socially conscious, it avoids you. If you're not, if you just want to go to if you're an a-hole, just wants to go to church, they know you, they'll find you. If you're on a plane and the airline industry is not doing very good right now, the virus is like, we're going to give you a free pass. However, if you're trying to dye somebody's hair with like a little bit of a blonde tint to it because they have a party that they're going to only do on Zoom, but they still want to get their hair done, you can't do it. So it's at some point, aren't people going to throw their arms up and go like, hey, this doesn't make sense anymore. I can't teach my kids. I hate this stuff.
I can't
quit.
I keep saying, shouldn't we have, when I was in junior high, we would organize a book drop. You guys ever organize a book drop? Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, the note would go around and, you know, at 12:05, everyone's going to drop their books, you know. And I thought, if I owned a salon or a barbershop or what have you, shouldn't we just organize a book drop? Like, hey, Monday, this coming Monday, 9 a.m., just open. Just all of them just open. There's nothing they could do about it. They couldn't enforce anything. You know what's scary? The scary part is the compliance of how fucking malleable everyone is. Like everyone should just open their shop.
Don't you long for the old days, those warm, cuddly days of, you know, bend the curve, lower the curve, you know, and what happened to that? That was like 15 days. Don't worry. And then it's, you know, pretty soon it's just going to be stuff us. By the way, to lower the chance of the virus, we're going to have to put everyone in a trunk in a car and drive you to Mexico. It's the best thing for you.
Yes. The part where you don't want to overwhelm the system, that completely makes sense to me. But I don't feel like some of these businesses opening would overwhelm the system. I've not even really heard, at least in Los Angeles, of systems being overwhelmed. I've heard of it.
And I like how they just dislike the Vietnamese people, like saying, oh, you know, it's not like a nail salon. The governor of New Jersey was saying, like, what are you kidding me? These people, I mean, very few people actually want to work down there in the tow area anyway. Let's be grateful to these people if they want to do that and then all that, you know, the stuff. And but it's important. This is a life. People need this. You know, my mom, I look forward to doing that. She's 90. That's her month thing she likes to do. So to just kind of dismiss that these people aren't important is insane.
Well, and to your point, didn't they at the beginning blame nail salons for this? But we never got any proof that this started with nail salons.
We always suspected. But well, I never knew for sure.
We did the wrong. They took the wrong angle on this, which is like, oh, you want to get your cuticles pushed or you want to get your roots dyed. Well, you're being rude.
Yeah.
And it's not about the people that are wanting to get their roots dyed. It's about the businesses that are dying who dye roots. You know what I mean? It's the other. It's the wrong angle. It's not the consumer.
How much do you want your government to protect you? At what point do you say, you know what? I am going to get my nails done. I love you and thank you for your concern. I appreciate it, but I'm just going to take the shot of continuing to, you know, to pay these Vietnamese families so they can take care of their children. You know, it's like, to me, I get it. You got to lower the curve, bend the curve, break the curve, sit on the curve, squat it, shit on the curve. But let's just, like, when you're arresting a surfer who's surfing by himself out in the middle of the ocean, then it becomes like, okay, what is this really, really about now?
Well,
and I don't know.
You're sending a message, but the message scares me. Sarah, actually, on this subject, Sarah, are you there? Sarah from Nevada County, California. Yeah.
Hi.
You have thoughts on us getting rid of Gavin Newsom in 2022?
Yeah, I'd love to get rid of Gavin Newsom. And I've been following Major Williams, and he gives me a little bit of hope.
I like the name. But, yeah.
Yes. But yeah, I'm concerned. I mean, like what I hear you guys saying is like small businesses. We're a small county here in Nevada County. We had one death and an 80-year-old cancer patient. And a lot of our restaurants had to go back to not having indoor dining. Well, these places can't survive on 20% capacity, right? And sitting outside, you know, on
big
a cement.
Restaurants can't survive on 80% capacity.
Weather.
I know. No,
you need to be packed whenever you're open to just have a chance of breaking even. The idea of like, you know, we're going to do 50%. 50% means your restaurants, 98% of them go out of business anyway. So it's like, exactly. You've got to give them an actual chance, you know, and everybody, I love that they're at least trying to get people outside. And the people in Manhattan Beach today were saying, like, the restaurants, can you at least give us an extra hour? Because they'd say, you got to all eat outside now. And, you know, and they can't get as many tables outside. You're eating on the sidewalk in the street. So can you give us at least another hour so we can, like, you know, try to, you know, keep, you know, living indoors and sleeping indoors, you know?
We did have pushback in our county, and we had businesses that tried to defy the orders. But then now our local county is trying to implement an urgency ordinance tomorrow morning to criminalize these businesses that tried to stay open. Like what you guys are saying, they tried to push back. They tried to stay open inside for indoor dining. And now the county is trying to pass an ordinance that would fine them up to $10,000 a day.
Well, here's the thing, and thanks for calling, Sarah, as I was thinking about, because Mike August sent me an article, an email today, or an article where I think it was New York wants assistant hair washers at salons to all have 500 hours of training now before you can be certified. And here's what I'm saying. So it's a bottom line. Forget about right and left and Democrat and Republican.
Yeah.
Forget about any of that. How much power do you want your government to have? How much of a say in your day-to-day life? Like, my feeling is I can go to a hair salon and I will trust them and their assistant hair washer. I don't need that person licensed. I need a competent person. I don't need everyone to get licensed for everything. And all it's doing is creating a bigger network. A, it's a way to get money from those people, obviously, number one. But number two, you have something to lord over them now. Now you defy the government, we'll pull your license. So now we have a license that, so now the government essentially gets to say, I will take this away from you and not let your business operate if, in fact, you defy us. And I mean, the thing about the government is if you just leave it alone, it's going to grow. It's there to grow. They have meetings every day on what new ordinances and what we can do. We can all agree we want our meat inspected, and we can all agree that we like, or we used to agree that we liked cops and firemen. Now we just like firemen.
But we cannot agree.
We can all agree that we like sanitation and clean water and things of that nature. But how much? When do we cap it? Do we just let it go?
Well, Mayor Garcetti said this the other day, which is like he had a press. You know when you have to have a press conference? These guys are so happy to get out in front of the press every day with whatever. And he said the other day that he would, if you're having a party, we will turn off your power and your water. So if you're going to go over to grandma's, don't stay for the extra slice of pie, because we're going to cut off your power. I mean, at a certain point, when do people say, who is this guy? I mean, anybody had any inkling that Garcetti was like Joseph Goebbels or something? I mean, at a certain point, you go like, that's nuts, and enough with that.
Also, it's completely ineffective, because I think with the fine print with that is, if you're a multiple offender, they'll do it within 2 days. So the party's
that's
long.
That's a ripping party. Jake Paul party.
That's right.
That is a ripper.
So not only on one side is it like, excuse me, what do you think you're going to do? But on the other side, it's like, oh, it's not going to ever happen anyway. No.
That's a Mexican wedding. That's a 2 or 3 thing. They're going to get to it by the time they hand out the pajamas and the slippers. You know that part of the Mexican wedding?
No, I don't, but I like it.
Sounds good. No.
It lasts. You know, the Mexican weddings, they're just better. They last a lot longer, and it gives a chance for the government to shut it down because it's that long. But Disneyland, I love Disneyland. God bless them. They're trying. You know, Disney World is going to shut down more hours. You know, they're really trying. They're at Disneyland going, hey, we're getting back to normal. Every ride we spray Clorox mist in your eyes, and Goofy has an anal thermometer. Just come on in. Stay separate. You know.
Hold on. Is that Jiminy Cricket? Or is that Mickey?
Hey, somebody's touching me where they're not supposed to.
That's the White Rabbit.
Jiminy Cricket? Did he sound like Mickey at all, or they sound differently?
Nope.
What'd they sound like? What
Jiminy
sound like?
One who's watched Pinocchio several times in the last couple of weeks.
Now,
he's a cricket, but you know, he talks like an old timey, he's like an old timey pug. You know, he's streetwise. He's kind of streetwise.
I like to hear Jiminy. Yeah,
from Jiminy.
Tessa doesn't freak out at the end too much.
Oh man, she's brave.
Oh wow.
People were looting last night in
Chicago.
In Chicago, and they weren't social distancing. It's like, they got to tell me, listen, you got to keep at least one flat screen TV apart. All yeah. of you people.
170.
12 Christian Louboutin shoes apart.
Yeah.
Everybody, please, your looters, please. Respect
a 60, a 65 incher. It would be about 72 in the box, which is yeah. 6 foot, you know,
so right,
you can just lay it out that way.
Then you're being respectful to your fellow looters.
I was shocked, not shocked, but they literally just lifted all the bridges. I was just out there. We were just out there. I just walked the whole place about 2 weeks ago, just walked all the way along yeah. the canal or whatever it is, the river, and saw all the, toll
it?
Bridges and the, yeah, what do they call them? Not toll bridges. What are they? Are the toll bridges? The ones that
it's
lift?
Not toll. I know what you mean.
Yeah. Are they toll bridges? Is that what we're calling
them? The ones
them?
That lift up.
Yeah. What's a bridge that lifts up? Toll bridge?
This is, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah.
Toll bridge. The Blues Brothers?
Yeah. Yeah. They just, just lift up. Mm-hmm. They lifted them all up to kind of cut the city off, to kind of turn it into a moat.
Excuse me, drawbridge.
A drawbridge.
Drawbridge or bascule bridge.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I may have had a brain fart there, but I feel like I could have got some help from that.
It was a group brain fart.
Yeah.
It doesn't come up a lot. They don't have a lot of bridges in California. Yeah, drawbridge. We don't have any.
Well, yeah. We don't have a lot of drawbridges in 2020. That seems like Game of Thrones.
That's true.
Right, right. Thank you, Gina.
They call them drawbridges, right? Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Let me ask Matt, who's been on hold for a while here. Matt, you're our Submariner sailor.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, you called, and we talked to you about submarines the other week, right?
The Navy. I was a submarine sailor.
Right.
I did that movie.
So, yeah, you were on
you
Periscope,
did,
right?
We talked about that. It was I decided it was the most true-to-life submarine movie that I had ever seen.
And
well,
you're,
there you go.
And you played,
there you go.
You played the XO, right?
Yes, sir.
How close to Chicago are you over there in Illinois?
Right now, I am right up in the suburbs. And, yeah, you're right. The drawbridges are up. So things are going on over the weekend. I was in Minnesota fishing, so I took a week off like you guys did.
Was it based on you know the problem with the fucking news is the news is like another black man shot by the cops. It's like, yeah. Another black man who was shooting at the cops was shot by the cops, not
right.
another black man shot by the cops. He was shooting at the cops, and it's like the cops shot him, and that's what happens when you shoot at cops. But if you're just going to report everything as another black man gunned down by the cops, it's not like they broke into James Earl Jones's house and shot him while he was sleeping. This guy was a fucking criminal who was shooting at the cops. So don't just go, because the news goes, another black man shot by the cops. And then the black folks go, fuck it. We're pissed. And then they fucking bust out. And they start looting and tearing shit down. And it's in a way, if the news outlets would fucking reel it in, yes.
Yes, if I can just interrupt you, I just wanted to know that we can edit out the part where I'm laughing at your jokes, just in case of the social, very sensitive people.
I'm saying...
No, I agree with you completely.
We're at a point where people are very volatile, they're very upset, and there's a lot of frayed nerves.
Go to the original tweet, Adam. They just go to the tweet that's down the list.
If you would like
guys shooting at cops.
If you would like to report things accurately, would probably help not agitate folks to the point where they're going out and things could be destroyed or hurt. So I was
have
like
a little,
yes,
I can paraphrase from Fox News if you want, just to your point, that most hadn't given this scope on it. Chicago police blame the rioting on misinformation spreading regarding the shooting. They say a police responded to reports of a man with a gun and were met with gunfire as they approached him.
Well, there you
go. So,
that's on Fox, but
well, that's why
saying that this is from misinformation is a pretty key part of that.
That's
story.
Why African Americans need to go to Fox to get their news.
That's right.
That's there you perfect. Go. Now you know.
Sorry. So, Matt, Submariner. Yes.
Yes.
But you went fishing.
Oh yeah, I went up fishing up at a lake up in Minnesota. That was my vacation. So now I'm coming back from work right now.
I feel like you should
back to find out that looting happened in Chicago. Great.
You should be better at fishing than most because you understand what goes on underwater. You know what I mean? Like you're like the fish whisperer. Like you've been under. You spent half your adult life underwater.
Below the fish.
Below most the fish.
You would think so, but most of the time, Minneapolis people, they have 10,000 choices because they got 10,000 lakes there. So right. Mostly it's half the day spent trying to figure out which lake.
Matt, do you do ice fishing?
I have never done ice fishing. I've always wanted to, but going north for the summer has been like a tradition of mine. Just go up north, catch some fish, and, you know, that's how I get away. That's my vacation time.
It's really just
submarining doesn't help me.
It's really just a test that Dr. Drew taught me to ask to find out if you're an alcoholic or not. Because any guy goes, I go ice fishing every fucking winter. Like, you're really just saying you're an alcoholic. There's only one reason to fish on a block of ice, and that's to get wasted at noon. That's
you
all.
You say McConaughey's an alcoholic?
We take a Yeti cooler along with us because it's hot. You know, we got to keep it ice down. We take the ice with us, but
good choice.
There's plenty of cans being thrown back for sure.
So you had pictures to share with us?
Yeah, I talked to whoever's on the other side of the phone, and I sent them some pictures, and they said, "Yeah, they're great."
Wow.
And I didn't know if you had seen them either.
We're lucky.
They're from our trip to the North Pole. And if you, I don't know if they have them brought up or anything.
Yeah,
but,
we're beautiful.
You know, we're looking at a submarine that's surrounded by ice that has come up through. Did you come up through the ice?
We came up through the ice that we, you know, when we were up there, with another British submarine. We were playing some war games and stuff. And when we went up, we were trying to find a place where we could like bust through the ice because there are pools of water. But we were like, yeah, let's punch through something, and there we were.
Beautiful. By the way, we'll post the pictures up at adamcarolla.com. You know, I've always had this thought about the military, and you think about it, the military sort of pays the least out of, you know, conventional jobs. You're probably an In-N-Out burger might pay you more than the military. And it's also like what the guys in your high school did when there was nothing to do, like parents didn't have businesses and they weren't college material. They'd end up just going in the Marines or going in the Navy or whatever it is. But simultaneously, you get to be around state-of-the-art equipment that costs millions and millions and millions. Like, if you're involved in any way, shape, or form with an F-22 Raptor or one of those Joint Strike Force, like you're flying a piece of material, a machine that costs $200 million to build and you get to fly it. You may be getting $22 an hour, but you're in a machine that costs $2 billion and goes under the polar caps. You know what I mean? So it's like you're living this poor life with this crazy technology that isn't even available. You know, Elon Musk couldn't get his hands on the shit that you guys get your hands on. And it's a kind of an interesting life because like, back in the day, you were just poor. You were in the army. You had a musket and a hat, right? That was your technology. Now you're fucking around with this insane technology. We don't even probably know half of it, aren't privy to half of it. And yet, you're getting paid minimum wage. Matt, thoughts?
Less.
Well, you are correct. I mean, we get government benefits, you know, health, but you're right. That thought does occur to us all the time. I'm just sitting there. I'm like, hey, I'm on a nuclear submarine underneath the ocean right now. How crazy is that? So those kind of things. But then most of the time you're just bored because you're just doing a job. And it's weird, the way life works on a submarine is you're working on an 18-hour day. So you get up, you do your job. Like I was in the sonar shack for 6 hours, and then you'd clean or do whatever for 6 hours, and then you'd sleep for 6 hours, and then you'd get up and do the same thing over again. So every morning, every day, you were getting up about 6 hours before you had gotten up the previous day.
Is the food better with the sub Corps than with the regular Navy?
Yes, because you're only cooking for so many people, and all of these guys come out of, you know, Navy cooking school. They're mess specialists, they call them. And so all these guys are trained chefs, and so they only have to cook for so many people. And if you're working in an aircraft carrier, you're just cranking out crap food for everybody. But the guys that really cared, they could give us a meal. It was pretty great.
Now, the question for you, is it true? The rumor is that you hear like it's the air is so clean and filtered down there. When you come up, does everybody catch a cold when they get off the sub after a couple of months at sea?
No, they don't catch a cold or because I think that because you're dealing with a bunch of guys that you're living with each other's germs, just underwater the whole time. When you pop that hatch open and you come on, it's like a breath of fresh air doesn't even begin to describe it. Like the sun is on your face and you're just breathing in, not farts.
not farts.
It's a pretty great experience.
The submarine corps for the United States in World War II was really tough because they weren't calibrated correctly, the torpedoes. So there was like a very high death rate, or the highest, I think, for the armed services for the United States, I think. And so they basically were shooting blind for like the first year that they were out there against the Japanese. They're literally, and so, you know, I think it was Rita Hayworth that came up with a better design for that or something that happened. So, but
really? No, see, I didn't know that. I just knew that they were kind of behind as far as, you know, especially Germany. They were their U-boats were just messing around with this. Luckily now, I think that we've got the best submarines on the planet. But yeah, World War II, it was a rough time.
I've learned from watching movies that U-boat commanders, German U-boat commanders, are amongst the best, most rugged-looking individuals on the planet. No one's ever cast a guy with a double chin to be a U-boat commander.
Yernik Prochnow.
Yeah, that was the great, greatest beards, steel gray eyes.
Yep.
Like, they're majestic creatures. You got to respect them, but they're good-looking.
Das Boot, by the way.
The chin got in the way when he was looking in the periscope. It was so square. And
he got two. They made it into a two-hour movie, which was still amazing. But originally, Das Boot was a nine-hour television series or movie. And it was like the most incredible stuff. They literally had a guy who was running right behind the sailors in these small, you know, that's when they had hot bunks, by the way. Adam, you would love this. Mm. In other words, you don't get your own bunk and you leave it. You come back later. You get out of the bunk. Somebody else goes and sleeps in that bunk. So when you go to sleep, it's a hot bunk. Somebody just got up.
Right.
So in Das Boot, they had the cameraman literally wearing helmets, you know, like, you know, helmets to guard themselves and like pads because they were running with the cameras right behind these guys. And it's just the whole 9 hours is ridiculous. Have you ever seen that?
Das Boot is spectacular. A young Wolfgang Petersen wrote and directed that. He went on to direct many Hollywood movies.
Oh, yeah.
And, it was supposed to be like a epic miniseries. And even the movie they attributed it down to is pretty spectacular.
Spectacular, yeah.
Hey, just a quick correction, because it's such a great piece of trivia. You were so on course with Rita Hayworth, and that was the name that popped in my head when you said that. Hedy Lamarr. She developed a radio guidance system for Allied torpedoes intended to use frequency hopping spread spectrum technology to defeat the threat of jamming by the Axis powers. Hedy Lamarr.
Wow, that's right. Okay, I'm sorry, but yeah, it's easy to confuse the two of the most beautiful women who ever lived.
That's why I was like, oh, I got to look that up. I have to make sure that's right because it's such a great piece of trivia.
Well, Rita did her part because she was probably painted on more airplanes.
She was the pinup girl. Yeah.
Was.
Yeah, Betty Grable. And her.
You want to know the sad reality of male sexual wiring is that if we went to a party and one chick was painted on the side of an airplane and the other chick figured out a way for the guidance system for the torpedoes, we'd be like, well, I'll talk to you when I'm done talking up the chick who's painted on the side of the bomber. All right, let me hit Mercari here. Fast, easy way to declutter your home. I love Mercari. It also, you don't have the landfill, so you don't have to take all this stuff and throw it out. Kids, ice skates they've grown out of, or any kind of sporting equipment or anything. You just do it in minutes. You can download the Mercari app, take some pictures of your stuff, add a description, and it's listed just like that. Once it's sold, Mercari emails a shipping label to you, stick it on the box, and ship it from your home. No meetups and no hassles. Over 50 million downloads in all 50 states. Try Mercari and make a little extra cash. And again, don't throw the stuff out. Make some money off it and get it out of your place. You're not using it anymore. Sell and buy most anything and do it right from your own home. Find it on the App Store or Mercari.com. That's M Mercari, Mercari, America's no meetup marketplace. Thanks, Matt, for those pictures and your service as well. Rob, their stand-up special, I just saw the trailer, which was very funny. I've not seen the special yet, but I shall watch it as we as you hear this, because it's up and running now on Netflix. You shot it in Utah? Salt Lake City?
Salt Lake City. Yeah, that's where all the Filipinos and Mexicans are. About as white a crowd as you can get. Mormons. They were great, though. But, you know, it's like I wanted to do a place where I know I could sell out two shows, and there are really great audiences out there. Really responsive. You know, if you've been out there, you know what great audiences they are. And so I said, I'll just shoot it, and I'll just you know, get on the road for a few months and really get this stuff down. And then I did, and then we shot it February 29th, and then the world shut down about a week later. Talk about timing.
Right.
You know?
And did you have a deal with Netflix beforehand, or did you just go out and shoot it?
Netflix was lucky enough. I'm lucky enough that Netflix was to work with me on this and give me a shot at a special. And it's exciting. I mean, you know, it really is like as a comedian, you try to get to a place where you can, you know, show your act in front of 110 different countries all over the world. It's like it's a dream. It's nuts. And most people, the thing is why I really wanted to do this was most people don't even know that I ever started out as a stand-up. You know, it's like Adam Sandler, Chris Rock, David Spade. I mean, Chris Farley wasn't a stand-up. He was an improv guy from Second City. But we all started out as stand-ups. And honestly, by the time we had like 20, 25 decent minutes, we were on TV. We're on Saturday Night Live. So that was a great problem. But for me, I always looked at like those guys that you really admire, the great comics. So it was Jay Leno for me and Dana, the great Dana Carvey and Dennis Miller and these guys. And Chris Rock, who had an amazing hour. And then I wanted that. So the only way to do that, you got to hit the road and hit it and hit it and hit it. And it takes years, you know. So this was something I put together for the last few years. And, you know, I wanted to do something. I think people are in a really good mood right now to want to laugh, take all the politics and crap out of it, and just give them something to laugh at for an hour.
I was spending time yesterday over the weekend with Chris Farley's cousin, Jim Farley, who's now the CEO of Ford. They look exactly the same. Chris is, there's some families have these like strong genes, like his brother looks exactly like him. Yeah. And Kevin and his cousin, Jim, if you can find a picture of Jim, they just have that look. I don't know what it is. It's kind of,
they look like they just had 10 beers.
Yes.
They look like, and it's getting a little crazy. Because that's the first time I ever met Chris Farley. I don't know if I told this before, but you know, this is before social media. This is 8 years ago, almost 30 years ago. And I'm checking into the hotel because, you know, I don't have an apartment yet. It's my, you know, first real season at Saturday Night Live. And I'm checking into this place in the, you know, middle of Midtown, little hotel. And I hear this a-hole next to me going, I need a smoker's room because I like to smoke. I'm a bit of a smoker and I can't have a problem. I want the smoking room because I've had to pay the fine before, blah, blah, blah. Just look at it and go, who's this a-hole? And the guy said, look up the name. The name's Farley. Look up in your roller majinger. And so I said, hi, Chris, I'm Rob. And I'll be, I'm going to be working with you this year at SNL. And so we go out and have dinner if you want after this. So we went out to dinner to this place called Joe's. It was a Mexican restaurant in Midtown. About 11 tequila shots later, he's on the table, naked, taking his shirt off, doing the whole thing, you know, with the shirt between the legs, you know.
Right.
And then, and he wasn't a famous Chris Farley. He was just a fat, naked guy on the table. And I just went like, wow. And I never went back to that restaurant again. They never allowed me back.
Well, you guys, so you both had your first season, it was together, right?
Yeah.
Your first season was far.
Yeah, I was there at the end of the 89-90 season, and Farley came in 90-91.
Who was the cast on your first couple of seasons?
You know, it's where the cast, that was the time of Saturday Night Live when, like, the first half of the show was just showing how many people are in the cast, you know?
Right.
And it was, you know, literally like Senator Al Franken. There was, Dana Carvey, Dennis Miller, Adam Sandler, David Spade, Chris Farley, Chris Rock. Mike Myers, you know.
Rob, I'm a huge SNL fan from your era especially, and that was a great transitional period where it was the Dana Carvey, Kevin Nealon, John Lovett. That great era, and that kind of gave way to this new era. At the same time, they integrated you and Sandler and David Spade and all the guys that we know from the 90s.
Yeah, that was just a great time. We had no idea at the time. All I remember from that era is people – you know, saying in the media how much we sucked and we weren't as funny as, like, you know, Bill
Murray.
Well,
they're right.
And then, yeah. Well, I said, I know it's not as good as the first cast. I saw the first cast. That's why I wanted to be on this show. But the first cast, you know, they're not here anymore. So, but it was a great place and we had a good run. And, you know, if you're a kid and you're watching it, when you're a kid and you're watching that cast, the current cast, that's your cast.
That's your cast.
And you love it.
I agree.
It was a real dream, dream place to be. And literally, if you had an idea that Adam Sandler and I went out to dinner one time with our girlfriends and we had money to take them out. And I just remember, you know, the waiters were being at the Italian restaurant, Il Cortile, in Little Italy, and the waiters were kissing our girlfriends a little bit, like, bellissima, mwah, mwah, mwah. Right. You know, three times, it's a bit much, you know. Right. So anyway, we sit down, and like the next day, or the couple days later, Tuesday night, Adam Sandler comes in the room with Rob Smigel, and they're giggling, and they're falling on the floor laughing. And I go, what is it? And they just hand me the script, and I start reading it. About these Italian waiters being overly aggressive and humping your girlfriend. And I start laughing, falling on the floor. And it's like, what a great way. And the next thing you know, 4 days later, we're performing in front of all of America or whoever wants to watch it that late. And they're laughing so hard, the audience, you know, because Adam Sandler's basically in a diaper and Dana Carvey's humping Victoria Jackson on the table.
Right. It's Kirstie Alley, right? Was it Kirstie Alley? Alley.
And, yeah. And I'm licking her face, and my ass is hanging out. And Adam and I are doing our lines. We can't even hear each other. We're 3 feet apart. And they're just laughing. We just had that look like, oh, this is good.
You know, it's a really cool part of comedy and the creative process, because I didn't do SNL, but when I did The Man Show, we did a bunch of sketches, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And we do commercial parodies and stuff like that. You just go into work, and I'd go, you know, when I lived in La Crescenta with my two roommates, I had one roommate who on his nightstand, was like handcuffs, a Jugs magazine, and a pistol. And his parents lived in Philadelphia, and they worshipped him. They adored him. And I always used to tell him, hey, man, if something ever happens to you, I'll get to that nightstand before your mom does. You're covered. You know what I mean? And I then turned it into a bit. Like, we made a whole bit about, you know, you guys know the bit. Rob probably doesn't, but it's called Rest Assured. It's like a service that gets to your apartment before your parents do. And we made a funny bit out of it, but it was just, it was a bit, you know, it was based on, like, you'd have all these ideas of like, oh, I used to kid about this and I said that. And then you just go in and you do exactly what you guys did with the Italian food place, which is turn it into a bit.
There was this one thing that happened to me that I thought, like, sometimes, especially, like, to me, sleep deprivation, before the structural side of your brain, the left side wakes up, you know, there's a little crazy part here before you had your coffee, and the creative side's kind of sneaking out, see what it can get away with, you know, which is also the drug addict part of your brain, by the way. But, next thing on, I haven't slept, and I'm flying out to New York and from California, and I thought, well, you know, what if I'm naked right now? What would that be like? And the next thing I know, I did a character called the Sensitive Naked Man, who everyone was freaked out by this guy because he was naked, but like he thought it was them, not him, you know? And it was just a dumb little thing. The next thing you know, it's on TV. But like another thing was, I walked into the store in upstate New York, and everything in there looked like what my older brother would use to hide his weed, you know? Like little
put your weed in it.
Yeah. And so I took it up to the counter like an idiot, you know, like, so where is the weed going here? It's like a little African drum or something. And she looked at me like I was an idiot. Now the next thing you know, we go back and on SNL, it was like we had an African antiquity store where everything is where, you know, you could hide your weed. This is a Senegalese lute. It's carved from deerwood. You make one every 7 years. It's used. What do you use it for? It's used for fertility rituals. What do I do with it? You put your weed in there. You know, right. So, I mean, it's that the silly stuff, the silliest king. Whatever's silliest is the best, always.
And it has to be based in something. Like, there has to be a truth, a kind of a grounding, a kind of as absurd as it may sound. You have to kind of go, yeah, I got that older brother who does that as well.
Yes.
We have a picture of Farley and his cousin?
We've figured Jim Farley who's going to, yeah, you'll just, oh, sorry. Just by looking at him.
Oh, there it is. Yeah. Tell.
So that's a handsome Farley.
Yeah. Van down by the river.
But he's got the eyes or the mouth, yeah, or
and the nose.
It's just, and that's not even his brother. That's his cousin. Like, that's a, I know. That's strong, a serious gene. Yeah. All right. We're going to do a
very, very powerful drinking gene.
We're going to do, well, it's funny because I was interviewing him for going racing with Adam Carolla. We put some cameras up, interview some guys at the track, blah, blah, blah. But he said to me, I like to go racing. He said, you know, some people, you know, they have girlfriends. Some people, you know, drink. I race. And I was like, yeah, you can drink and race. Like, I'm here to tell you. I do a fair bit of both on a weekend.
And you can have a girlfriend throw in there, too, to get in the car racing with you.
That's right. So we'll take a quick break. We'll come back with Rob. We'll do the news right after this.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gino Grad. Breaking viral. All those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gina Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Deep news with Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
So these Chappelle shows continue in Ohio, and he usually brings up a guest or two, and that's where Louis C.K. resurfaced recently at one of the stand-up events in Ohio. So Dave's been hosting this series. We talked about this a little bit, called Dave Chappelle and Friends, An Intimate, Socially Distanced Affair. And he's been bringing up Jon Stewart, David Letterman. Our buddy Adam Ray was up, I think, like 2 days ago. At least that's when the picture was posted. And in a photo dated August 4th, it was revealed that C.K. was his special guest for two recent shows. And we have a picture here of Louis in the middle with everybody. It's the first time he's shared the stage with another prominent comedian.
Which one's Louis?
You got to look close. You might want to blow it up so you can see it.
I'm not familiar. Yeah.
Yeah, did two shows recently.
Sarah Silverman looks like she's in there too.
Yeah, at the bottom.
Oh, she is? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. Michelle, do you want to squat underneath Louis?
The last place you want to be.
Very good point.
With your back turned to him, didn't she have a story like that?
She joked. Yeah. Michelle Wolf is in like every one of these pictures, so I think she's a main fixture down there. The other picture with, I think it was the one with Adam Ray, also Tiffany Haddish, who might be in that picture as well. She just shaved her head.
Yeah, that's her.
That's her.
Yeah. And Jaleel White, Urkel. Yeah.
Jeez.
And Adam Ray. Wow. Cool.
Wow. It's crazy down there.
Yeah. I don't know. Is Louis out doing stand up, or was he out doing stand up?
Yeah, he did a tour.
He did a tour.
Yeah, he did a tour. He was in Europe. He sold out in Europe.
Oh, Europe for sure. But
and he did here too. Yeah, he would do like clubs and just, you know, kind of like he's like, I'm going to be here. I'm going to be performing in 45 minutes. Whoever shows up, and it would sell out instantly and
pop up.
Yeah, and then also he wouldn't give enough time for people to like start threatening the establishment to burn it down or whatever, you know, that they wanted to do to pick it or whatever, and it did very well. And his, you know, I haven't seen his new special. I saw some of the older stuff of it. I listened to it at least. Somebody. That's why you got to take people's phones away these days, because the next thing you know, while you're still working out your bits, it's going to be on YouTube. But yeah, he was funny.
Yeah, I mean, has it been, how many, has it been 3 or 4 years since he got kind of outed?
Yeah.
And, almost 3, yeah.
And you know what's kind of weird about a Louis C.K., as I'm sort of thinking about this bizarre time we're living in a way, he doesn't really have an expiration date on whatever it is he did. It's just kind of a slow burn or something, whereas other people have their day in court, or they're let out, or they're thrown in jail, or there's a kind of a thing, you know, like
Martha Stewart, she spent her time, she didn't fight it.
There's a dividing line where you either get fired or you get divorced or you get in jail or you have a trial or you're exonerated or whatever. It's like Louis just kind of went, you know, and so it's like, it's weird. So it's sort of like there's not an end point, but it's starting to sort of fade off, but there's no clear division of like now
there was like, because I remember like you know, reading about like Elvis and the, you know, seeing the documentaries about Elvis, there was, it's, you know, where Elvis was getting crap after the first time he was on Ed Sullivan's show, and then, you know, he's like, he's too, it's risque, and he's using his hips, he has a penis, mm-hmm. this is a problem. And then Ed Sullivan had him come back again. He said, I just want to say on our show tonight that there's never been a nicer man. He's a gentleman, a nice man. And you saw the relief from Elvis just like, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. And then, of course, he went on to do pretty much everything that he was accused of later. but I feel in that same way, it run its course. You know, I mean, finally, like, it took an actor, you know, to finally get rid of the blacklisting in Hollywood. He just passed away, you know, the great Kirk Douglas. At the Academy Awards, he said, you know, Trumbo wrote Spartacus.
I thought that was right. Rita Hayworth who got rid of that.
Yeah, that
or
was.
Or Hedy Lamarr who got rid of that.
Yeah. No, Rob's confused.
No, Rita Hayworth. It was Rita Hayworth who gave the announcement.
But now do we have the luxury of hindsight where after Louis's, you know, disappearance, for lack of a better word, we had Weinstein, we had Epstein, we have all this stuff. And we're like, well, Louis, you
it's
know,
not fair to compare him.
Yeah, compare yeah. Those two.
You really can't, you know. But I will, you know, if I say that, I'll get more shit than if Gina says that.
Well, right. But I'm just saying, is that societally what we're thinking now? Like, okay, you know, he's no Epstein, he's no Weinstein. Let him come back.
Well, I'll tell you what is a very scary and a little bit of a jump the shark as a nation was, and I always think about Matt Damon. Because Matt Damon dared to put his opinion out there, which is, of course, Al Franken, the aforementioned Al Franken, was not Weinstein, and we shouldn't think of them the same, you know? And then he got wished out into the cornfield, and that was a moment where he probably should have taken a stand, and our country should have taken a stand, which is, yes, he is correct, and as I've told you, I'd have nonsensical discussions with my wife's friend once who was just kept yelling. I'd go, he's 100% right. What are you upset with him about? And she just kept going, just shut up, Matt Damon. You shouldn't be talking. And it's like, that's when we jumped the shark, where people that, first off, weren't involved with any criminal behavior commented on somebody else's behavior, suggesting merely that there's a difference and a chasm between what this guy was doing and what that guy may not have done. And that guy has to be silenced.
You're using logic and being rational, and that's against this cancel
culture. Here's the problem. The problem is, you have Matt Damon saying something that's patently true, and then 5 million people that don't want to weigh in because they don't want to get wished out into the cornfield. But my argument is, if those 5 million people did weigh in, then we could eliminate this stuff.
And it can be both. You can say, yeah, no, you're right. I get it's not the same thing. But also, fuck that guy. I mean, you don't have to.
You can say that.
You can say whatever you want.
You can say that. And also, it's like, you know, the guy Franco, whatever. I mean, like, I didn't talk about any of this in my stand-up special. Not that I need to bring it back to my special.
James, we're talking about James Franco?
James Franco. And then he got accused of creepy behavior, right? I'm not saying justifying the behavior. But he got accused of this thing, like, you know, of, like, promising things to women in exchange for sex, and then after, didn't follow through with anything he promised. And I'm sorry, that just reminds me of sex. You know, it just, you know what I mean? In general, I'm just speaking. You promise things, and then like, oh, I'm sorry, we're not going to go to dinner. I'm tired. I don't want to see a movie.
You know, it's weird. My Franco.
I got my shoes off. Yeah.
The Franco thing for me is interesting because he got outed because he was wearing a button or boutonniere or something that said he was down with the cause.
It's like the Time's Up button or something.
Right.
Like that.
Yeah. And it's weird. I process him differently because I'm like, that guy was trying to kiss some ass and not and be loved by this group. And then he ends up getting bit by his own snake, essentially. But for some reason, the guys that are trying the, I have less sympathy for the people that are trying to sort of be down with this cause who then end up getting crucified by the cause. I shouldn't. Maybe it's inconsistent, but somehow his.
No, but it does seem like, you know, if you screw up, if you're a liberal, real liberal, like I'm from San Francisco, I think I'm a traditional liberal, which means you're an arch conservative now, you know, but if you dare step out of line, I mean, nobody got. I mean, no comedian was ever loved more than I think and adored more than Louis C.K.
Yes.
I mean, like the media, I mean, in his pseudo apology or whatever that he sent out, you know, he admits that, like, you know, these, you know, they loved him, but if you screw up, you're done forever. They just, you're out. You are out, out. And, well, you know, Louis, I don't think it's fair. Completely.
Louis C.K. has had an interesting arc because, first off, at the beginning, he was kind of ignored, like no one cared one way or the other. And then at some point, he just became the voice of comedy. Like, it's like that guy is going to be the arbiter of all that is funny. For like 3 years, he became this guy. I mean, we used to book him on the morning show and stuff like that. No one cared who Louis C.K. was. He was another struggling comedian. And at some point, he became super relevant. Like, he just became sort of anointed.
He like, because he's, it was the HBO special, one of the ones he did. Because you can see him for 3, 4, 5 minutes, and you can laugh and blah, blah, blah. But if you see him for an hour, he really has great logical progression to those absurdity in these bits, and they have some universal truth to it.
I agree. I think he's great, but what I'm saying is there's something that transcends just being good. Like, at a certain point, your band becomes Radiohead, and well, then you just, everyone looks to measure you through everyone else. Yes, Rob.
The last time I saw Louis was like he was doing his last comedy special that was on Netflix, and I went down and saw him on like a Sunday night, and it literally, you know, a Sunday or Monday night, and literally it was like the greatest comedy show I've ever seen. It was, and I went backstage after, and I said, "Man, that was ridiculous." He said, "Yeah, that was, you know," said, "I just felt that was it was electric, you know." And then he did the next night, and the next night it was like great. And I remember backstage, and "Hey, that was great, you know." And he said, "Yeah, but it wasn't good as last night." And I said, "Yes, exactly." He said, "Because, you know, the super hyper fans are really excited to go see him. They rush out because they hear it that first night, and then they add a show, and then the people will hear about it, but aren't as excited, and they're going to check their phone a little bit more. You know, not the Uber fans. And so, but you need to get those people to get in there to have that. You need to have somebody tell somebody so over and over and over again to get those people outside of your core group of Uber fans." But, and that's what finally happened, you know, with him. It hit like, you know, to sell out Madison Square Garden, you're going to have to get a lot of idiots too, who maybe don't really get it, but just pretend that they do. You know what I mean?
So on the CK arc, which is nobody cares, then everyone cares, then he becomes the yardstick to measure other comedians against, and then we're done with him, and he needs to be shamed out in the cornfield. It's like, it's a weird, his whole sort of life, career wise, is weird. And also, let's not forget, my buddy Ray came up behind him and at Jordan Rubin's midnight roller skating rink thing, when his shirt was off and he's all covered with sweat, and just grabbed both of his man boobs and just started rattling them off. And Louis just turned around and went, "What the fuck are you doing? Like, who are you?" And my Ray's like, "I thought you were Jeff Ross." The thing that was always funny about Ray is Ray would be peeing on somebody explaining, "Oh, I thought you were a good friend. Like, I didn't know." Like, I don't know how Jeff Ross would have felt about that one either, but he just literally came up behind him and just grabbed his man boobs.
You know, not defending him. I mean, obviously there was some, you know, not nice things he did, but the culture was basically not a sniper at that time, because usually sometimes a cult would be a sniper. This time was pure double barrel buckshot. Who's going to get as many victims as many people as they can, as many as anybody, no matter what they did or the degree of what they did, or as many. They were just trying to get everybody. And if you were, that's why everybody was like, just lay low, let this go, you know, let this storm will pass. It has not passed. It's gotten worse, but I don't know where it'll go from here. But it's definitely affected everybody and how you think about what you're going to perform, what you can say, what you couldn't say. Like, it's nuts. I mean, honestly, like, you know, I was talking to, I saw Chris Rock recently. And I said, "So what are you going to be talking about on stage?" He says, "I have no idea. It is crazy out there."
And that's something that we touch on from time to time. And I mean, I'm just saying this from a female perspective. I don't know if this is going to ring true for you guys or not. But when you hear about, you know, even the transgressions like Louis, or like, what, you locked a chick in your, you made her feel like she had to stay and watch you jerk. Fuck you. Like, what are you doing? You know, like all that kind of stuff. It's like, yeah. Bad behavior, you know, now we all know about it. You can't, you know, secretly keep putting women in this position, or, you know, Weinstein or whatever. It's not going to work anymore. Your secret's out. Nobody's keeping your secret anymore. Bullies love when people keep their secrets. Yeah. And I personally love that. You know, I love that exposure. It's like, hey man, this is who you are. If you didn't want people to talk about it, you shouldn't have acted so badly. But The other part is okay, when I am sitting here, you know, like, let's say me personally, work my ass off, you know, for the career I have, love sitting in this chair on this show, love my other job. I've worked really, really hard for all this. I think I'm a good-hearted person, you know, blah, 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 blah. When people, if I say something that someone doesn't agree with and they come after me, now I feel like we have a problem. You know what I mean? It's like, why is the wave taking all of its allies with them?
Well, I think Matt Damon's, his real screw up was when he said, hey, I got four daughters. Mm. I know, as if you need to have four daughters to understand like basic, decent human behavior.
Right.
You know, no. It took, now that I have four daughters, I understand. Like, no.
Right.
It always, the preface, which is in my book, with everyone going like, you know, I have black friends, or, you know, I'm a family man, or I have a wife and a daughter. Like, we get it. You're not bad. No one's bad. You know, you can have opinions on things and still love your wife or your daughter, whatever it is. It saddens me. I really mean it, that everyone who has to weigh in with something like police brutality, you know, they go, listen, what they did to George Floyd was wrong, and I'm here to tell you that's wrong. There's no policeman should put their knee on a man's neck until he died. That being said, the defunding the police, it's like, we get it. It was wrong. Everyone knows it's wrong. That's not, no one thinks this is an endorsement of that, or you having a wife, or you having a daughter, or you having black friends, or whatever that thing is. It's so sad to have these things that are so insanely obvious. You have to preface everything with, here's who I am. Just give your goddamn opinion.
This is still new, by the way, man. This is like this social media thing. It hasn't. And people don't know what to do with it. And I think I said this to you one time, like, it's like when they started flying airplanes in 1903, it took 15 years later for it to start killing people. Right. So this is what's happening 15 years after social media. They're killing people with it. And it's going to take a while before it's transportation again.
It is kind of the, in a way, it is sort of the new drunk social media, because drunk used to be, hey, you know what you said, you shouldn't have said it, you said this, you shouldn't have said that. And like, when you're drunk, you're like, I don't fucking care, I'll say whatever I want, I'll fight everyone in this bar, like, right? It's like kind of the new empowered drunk.
It's in Twitter Veritas.
It is? Oh.
No, like in Vino Veritas, yes. You know, you drank and the real personality.
Yeah, it's your truth. The truth comes out, yes. The Twitter is sort of, is to drunk minus the hangover or the drunk tank or the cops or getting punched or having a bartender hit you with a baseball bat. Like, it's sort of a, it's like being drunk, saying what you want, and never having to deal with the biker whose girlfriend you offended at the bar.
But here's the thing, though. Now the people are interpreting like they're hungover or like they're drunk. The interpretation from companies. When I found out, like, the guy in the Galaxy from the LA Galaxy soccer football club got fired for something his wife texted, or his wife tweeted. It's like, what? Or his wife's Facebook page, whatever. It's like, I get fired for the wife, which he said. That to me is insanely out of control. We got to come back from the edge of the cliff there.
Also, you kick a ball for a living. I don't want to sound like my mom, but I just mean, you play fucking soccer. How much, you know, how much wisdom should we gather from you? Rob, I know you got a hard out that was about 5 minutes ago, so I'll give your stand-up special a plug, and we'll bid adieu until next time. You come join us in Tempe if you're in town. I'm going to be at the Improv September 19th, 18th and 19th.
I'll be there.
Live stand-up and podcasts as well. So if you want to come down to the Tempe Improv and say hi September 18th and or 19th, we'll work it out. I have Mike hit you off the air. Stand-up special, Asian Mama, Mexican Kids. It's available now on Netflix. Thanks, Rob. We'll talk to you very soon.
Thanks, Sheena. Thanks, Brian.
Hi.
Let me hit Simply Safe, and then we'll do a little more news. Most home security companies trap you with the high prices, tricky contracts, lousy customer support. There's only one that is a no-brainer, and that is Simply Safe. Two eyes in there, people. Everything to protect your home, an arsenal of sensors and cameras for every room, window, door, tailored specifically for your home. Professional monitoring day and night, ready to send police, fire, or medical professionals, whatever you need. You set it up in under an hour, peel and stick. Batteries last up to 10 years, no technician required. No contracts, pushy sales guys, hidden fees, or fine print. Starts at just $15 a month. U.S. News and World Report named it the best overall home security of 2020. Right, Dawson?
Head to simplysafe.com/Adam and get a free HD camera for our listeners. That's simplysafe.com/Adam to make sure they know that RCO sent you.
All right, let's do a couple more, Gina.
Okay. Well, hey, this is crazy. This is happening right now as we speak. So, of course, we will. I'm sure there'll be plenty more information rolling in than what's happening just now. But I'm getting a notification saying President Trump has just abruptly ended his news conference and the White House briefing room has been placed on lockdown. I'm trying to get a little more information. I'm now seeing a tweet from Emily Finn, who looks like an anchor for OANN, which I'm not sure what that is.
It says, One America, come on.
Oh, there you go.
USA.
Developing initial reports of shots fired at the White House. Secret Service escorted him out of the briefing room. Our correspondent is currently in lockdown inside the briefing room.
No shit.
So that's all we know.
Jesus Christ.
Let's see. Secret Service currently in. Yeah, that says shots fired at 5:47. So that was just about, 15 minutes ago from where we are. And we'll see. We'll see what's going on.
Yeah, I'm laughing because I'm just picturing watching CNN going, the president was shot. Now, look, no one deserves to be shot. But, if you're going to sit up there and lie all day, I mean, look at the coronavirus. How many people needlessly died? Jesus Christ.
I wouldn't wish it upon anyone.
Yes. Well, Maxipati, you can scour the thing.
Yeah, I'm just grabbing through a video right now.
Please, because it's literally breaking right now, so I'm not crazy. You'll see more. Meanwhile, just on a side note, I watched Richard Jewell for the first time yesterday, and that poor guy got a bum deal. You saw that, right, Brian?
I did. Okay, good movie. I love the performance by Paul Walter Hauser. He was great.
He's incredible. And I said, he has to be such a smart actor to pull off this character.
He's fantastic.
Anyway,
I want to watch that too. Now, I'm telling you, what if Richard Jewell looked like George Clooney? Would he have been accused of this?
Like, well, it's funny because the guy kind of after him in the movie is John Hamm.
Right.
So what if those roles were reversed?
I'm just saying, like, we don't realize what animals we are. And I don't mean that even in a negative way. But it's like you just go, look at that guy. Look at that guy. You know he did something. Look at him.
Right.
Look at him.
Yeah, Richard Jewell himself was not telegenic. He didn't come across the screen as like, oh, that's a hero.
No. Nothing charming nothing about him. But good guy, I guess.
Well, what if? All right, I'm trying to think of. I'll think of the name. Keep going.
So as I mentioned earlier, Sturgis is popping off right now. Thousands of bikers rode into the small town in South Dakota over the weekend for the 80th annual Sturgis Motorcycle Rally. Authorities have so far reported 84 arrests for offenses like, now hold on, hold on to your hat, drunk driving, drug use. More than 200 citations were also issued, and police responded to 18 crashes.
Well, let me ask this. All right. What if Richard Jewell looked like George Stephanopoulos?
Oh.
If I'm saying his name's right.
At the time, it'd be a boyish good looks.
Yeah. would we go, that guy? I know he put a bomb somewhere. Like, if you pictured, they're probably both about the same age. Yeah. I mean, Jewel's been gone for a little while, but if you showed a 30-year-old, they're both like a picture of both of them at 31.
Within 5 years, that's right.
George, you would not convict, right?
No. That kid?
No.
He's a never, spry, diminutive boy next door.
It's how Ted Bundy got away with what he did for as long as he did it.
And who played Ted Bundy, Brian? Like Zac Efron or something?
Yeah.
You have to find
the prettiest guy in Hollywood to play a
I think Jeremy Renner played him, too. You have to. We'll have to. Oh, yeah. Well,
there was a couple. Zac Efron did play him, I think. One.
As far as the White House, so there was an armed suspect outside the White House. That suspect has been shot and is being taken to the hospital. Ooh. And there is no word on why he was there or if it had anything even to do with Trump, according to Trump.
So. Shot by the police or whatever?
Secret Service, yeah.
I'm now at the point where I'm like, please have it be a guy who looked like Louis C.K. and not like Chris Rock. Please. Please.
I know nothing about the story, obviously. I've been on the show for the last hour and a half. There's a chance he's like a Second Amendment supporter. You know what I mean? There's no rhyme or reason. It could be one or the other. If he had a chance, I would imagine.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So the Sturgis event is 10 days long, very little social distancing and mask wearing. The virus experts call this a super spreader event. And, you know, there's not really been much of this in Meade County where, you know, there's been one COVID-19 death.
But well, those guys are all in really, really good shape. So they'll be fine if they get the fucking COVID.
Yeah, the perfect. Yeah. But the concern is that numbers will spike after thousands of people come together. Then they're going home. And so we'll watch out for the biker crew, see what happens. So I don't know if you saw this story about this girl, this very sort of nice looking studious girl from a high school in Georgia.
Not guilty.
Not guilty.
Right. Didn't plant that bomb.
She posted a picture of what her high school hallway looked like at North Paulding High.
Oh yeah, I saw that.
And it's just a traffic jam of just, you know, a regular old day at school. It's stopped. People can't walk anywhere. They're ass to elbows. There are no masks. And she posted the picture saying, this is what our school looks like right now. So instead of, you know, maybe fixing the school, they suspended her for posting the
good.
Picture.
Good. She's a fucking snitch. No fucking post pictures. Go about that's your fucking funny.
Wait a sec.
That. That's funny that you and I have different opinions on this. Please bring this up on Reasonable Doubt because did she violate some written, agreed upon rule?
Okay. So I can sort of speak to that.
Okay. Because that is kind of crazy.
So, okay. So the district initially suspended the student earlier this week after an announcement to punish all students who shared disparaging content on the school on social media. TMZ reports that the school suspended her posting because she was posting pictures of minors without their consent. That's what high school kids do on social media. They post pictures of each other at school. And it's
specious.
A public school.
Rules
it's
are
a
rules,
school.
Gina.
Okay.
Sure.
So the school authorities allegedly told her that anything that goes on social media that's negative or alike without permission will be consequences. On Friday, the student announced via social media that they reversed the decision. But hold on, this is a perfect example of Andy shaming my bathroom and me cleaning it up.
Yeah.
Well, this Garrigus would be drooling over this, right? Because how can you possibly prove negative intent? She just posted a picture.
Yeah.
It's just a picture. She didn't say my high school sucks or whatever.
Well, if the picture, that's the whole thing. Like,
right.
the negative behaviors on the high school, so that's on them. So it's like somebody, you know, it's like, again, it's like, I don't know, be like Andy taking a picture of your messy bathroom and posting it up there. But it's kind of, the bathroom wasn't messy when you moved into the house. I mean, the school is not doing their job.
Right.
On the other hand, this is going to happen times 10 million all over the place constantly, and the kids are just going to—they're just going to deal with it. They're just going to live with it. I haven't heard any bad stuff coming out of the kids' stuff with the COVID-19, so I'm assuming
Sonny's
they'll be fine.
It.
Sonny fucking loved it. He doesn't have to learn anything anymore. Anymore. Well, all he's learning is whatever he's learned at the racetrack, basically.
Yeah, that's good, smart school of hard knocks.
Yeah.
Well, if you're lucky you don't live in New York because USA Today reports that all New York schools will be able to open in the fall. That's according to Cuomo. And that's leaving the ultimate decision, basically, to local authorities. But he's given the okay. He said last month that schools would be reopened on a regional basis if the region was reporting a 14-day daily infection rate of 5% or lower. That's currently the case for all regions, apparently, in New York, which was one of, you know, the epicenter when this all started. Friday's decision is meant to be a preliminary one, as the first day of school is like September 10th. So it's still a month away. Each district has to submit their own plans to reopen. They're being reviewed by the health department, and they're looking at probably a hybrid situation of 3 days of in-person.
Yeah, I don't know what the hell my kids are doing, but I don't think they're going back until after the first of the year. Yeah. I don't think. And it's also pretty apparent that the teachers ain't nutty about teaching either. So the teachers like getting paid to stay home, and their clients like them to get paid to stay home as well. And that's kind of a perfect storm there with not a lot of incentive to get back to it. So I don't think they're coming back. I don't think they know anymore. I can't.
What's,
You know, I was talking about, like, We're having this sort of global discussion with Peter, who showed up to the track with us and is going to Berkeley right now. But he went home and was doing like remote learning, and all these colleges were doing this thing where it's like, well, you still pay us, but you just stay home.
Right.
I think there's going to be a change here. I think we're getting to the point of for the colleges. You know, be careful what you ask for, because on one hand, you get paid without having to open up a building. On the other hand, you've just taught everyone they can stay home right. and get what you're providing from home, which means why do they need to pay for your bell towers, you know? And so I think there's going to be a real change here in learning, and especially like in college. And, you know, Sonny's not going to college anyway, but he's 14. Would he ship off and go to college in 4 years? It seems sort of realistic now. It's gonna feel a lot like, you know, renting a DVD or something. Like, you could do it. Maybe some people want to do it, or they like it, or they like their Blu-ray collection right. or whatever it is. But aren't most people just going to use their phone and download? Like,
yeah.
Isn't college going to be that soon?
Well, this is your "In 50 Years We'll All Be Chicks." You already said this about college, but it happened sooner.
Yeah, this thing fast-tracked everything. And I just wonder, with what's going on campuses and like all the crazy politics and everything, and there's also probably a large group of parents that like I don't want my kid to go there and come back a lesbian, and I'm talking about Sonny. So I think this is going to end up again, like we're talking about with going into the office, like Christy going into the office, and how much more work you can get done at home, and how you don't need big buildings and commutes and traffic and parking passes and underground parking and everything and all this.
It's a huge infrastructure
world that really has nothing to do. The work is the person's brain and the computer screen they're looking at, which could be at a Starbucks or could be in your living room. All right, let me hit Geico right here. Quick 30-second Geico right now. Geico is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies. That's 15% off on top of what Geico could already be saving you if you're up with Geico. So let's get going, people. Never been a better time to switch to Geico. Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Visit geico.com to learn more today. Let's do one more, Gina Grad.
Okay, well, I'm going to shove in 1.5 real quick because shut up, Brian. I love that schools have the charade of putting the hammer down, because I think it's in Illinois. They're banning kids showing up to their Zoom classes in their pajamas. So you showed them. But when it comes to working remotely, if you are working remotely and you're tired from working from home, Vegas has another option for you. MGM Resorts is hoping to lure the remote working community to their Viva Las Office package. Now, listen up, because
God bless him for trying, man.
This could be good for a lot of people. Insider.com reports that guests can book 3, 4, or 5 night stays at the Bellagio or Aria, use all the resort amenities during their workday, whatever they want to do, including taking conference calls from the poolside cabana, booking massages during lunch breaks, and you get an executive assistant that will take care of booking all your activities and excursions. And the price starts at $100 a night. So what the hell are we doing here?
I was talking about this with somebody, and it's like, how does the executive assistant work? Like, when you have no background or no familiarity, you know, like 7/8 of what Matt and I do is based on he's got the numbers and the emails. Like, it seemed like a weird, I mean, I get they could help, but
yeah,
how much
just
could you
booking
really,
your activities.
I was going to say, Christy has an executive assistant. She loves her. And I can tell you from the interaction, like, the most valuable quality, at least for Christy, is just staying on top of things, you know, scheduling, just being on top of things and having the information at the ready. The technical knowledge is neither here nor there.
But what I'm saying is, what would, if it was like Groundhog's Day and every day was like a new first day with your assistant, how useful could they be? Like,
this, sure.
this chick probably worked up the street at Super Spreaders before they were closed down, and now she's your executive assistant.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, yes, the one that comes with the room in Vegas. How helpful are they?
I'm seeing that the executive assistant, who is a dedicated concierge, is a real person, a well-trained person who has taken care of thousands of guests and requests before. So they're hyper-experienced and ready to bring you some hospitality.
Hmm. So more personal concierge service.
And where would you use it? Would you travel there to do it? Or like I was trying to picture that scenario.
Yeah, you only get it for
scenario.
Your stay. Yeah, just for your stay. Just a attentive concierge.
Eh, all right.
Why not?
All right. You got a half one to go?
No, it was just that you can't go to Zoom school in your pajamas because laying down the law.
Yeah, makes sense. All right. Let's bring it home.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
Gina Grad!
That was the news with Gina Grad.
Well, you can watch my stand-up on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/Adam Carolla. That'll be there. I'm your emotional support animal. It's available as we speak. Nick Willenda is coming up this week, the Flying Willendas.
The Flying Willendas?
And Brian Cranston of the Grounded Cranstons. It's going to be on later this week as well. Rob Schneider, available. His stand-up special is available now on Netflix. Asian Mama, Mexican Kids. We'll hopefully see him up on stage in Tempe coming up as well. And until next time, this is Adam for Rob and Gene and Bald saying mahalo.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Carolla. You can leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744 and pick up Adam's new book. I'm your emotional support animal. It's available everywhere. Get the links at adamcarolla.com.
And before we get out of here, one more thanks to Geico. Do you own? Do you rent? What do you do? Do you want a bundle? Well, you own or you rent. Or you got to have insurance. You got to have auto insurance. Bundle it. Make it easy. Save money. Let's get it under one roof at Geico. At geico.com, get a quote. See just how much you could be saving on your homeowners and your rental insurance when you bundle. That's Geico, geico.com.